بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم: أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected brothers, sisters, elders, the topic of today's khutbah is for Allah or for me. Today's buzzword is empowerment, which means to help people see, feel, and exercise their own personal power and authority. The truth is that the way we usually raise children, we create psychological dependence on adults and authority. We don't teach them tools of decision making, tools of critical analysis. We don't teach them to weigh pros and cons of deciding based on long-term results. We teach them only to ask adults. We don't, for example, teach children to earn an income. Instead, we teach them to beg, which is ask parents for money. If you are asking money from somebody, no matter who, that is begging. We don't teach them to analyze options, but to blindly obey. If they rebel, we still don't teach them or help them to understand the reasons for or the consequences of rebellion, but we enforce our own will by force. This unconsciously reinforces powerlessness and dependency and resentment and anger. Schools reinforce this even more, to the extent that while in school, the child leads the life of a prisoner in jail. There is nothing which is in his control from the time he enters the school to the time he leaves, both of which are also not in his control. This is the insane paradox of our so-called education system, where we teach and reinforce everything that a person does not need in life, and then spend the rest of life trying to undo that completely avoidable damage. Our schools, and to a great extent our parenting, conditions us to blame others and never to accept responsibility for what we say or do. I call this learned or conditioned helplessness. This is a psychological trap that justifies inaction. We globalize issues and then we feel justified in doing nothing by saying, after all, I am one person, what can I do? That is a statement of false helplessness. The way to solve problems is to ask, what can I do about this at my level? Localize the issue and you will find always some way in which you can impact it positively. For example, you cannot solve the world's problem of hunger, but you can feed one person. You cannot solve global warming, but you can switch off lights, not use air conditioning, and use public transport or your legs instead of driving. You cannot make everyone pray, but you can ensure that you pray in the masjid on time. No brainer to see what this will achieve if more and more people start practicing personal empowerment, for which we do not need anybody else's permission. If I ask you to define in one line The most seminal, fundamental and powerful change that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam created when he announced Islam, what would you say? I would say that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to ask, is this for Allah or for me? To ask this before every speech and every action. Is it for Allah or is it for me? He taught us to focus on the long term, on the akhirah. He taught us that everything we say or do has two consequences. One temporary consequence in this life and the other permanent one in our akhirah. However, even though it is permanent, until the last moment of our life, we still retain the power to change it by repentance and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our life is in our control. That is the message of Islam. Now, how's that for empowerment? Islam explains those consequences so that we can make intelligent choices. Starting from the beginning, whether to enter Islam or not, itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, there is no compulsion in religion, meaning nobody is forced to enter Islam. Verily, the right path has become distinct from the wrong path. The two paths have been وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, in another place. Both the paths have been clearly mentioned. Whoever disbelieves in the Tawud, which is all kinds of false deities, false ideas, and believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, that person has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearer, all knower. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we say, Ya Rab, we have grasped this handhold. Please do not leave it until you take us into Jannatul Firdaus without hisab, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, having said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us what happens because of either choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum minaz zulumati ila nur. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali. Allah is the protector, the guardian of those who believe. He brings them out from darkness into light, from misguidance into guidance, from ignorance into knowledge. But for those who disbelieve, you're free to do that. What the Quran is showing is the consequences, so that you can make an informed choice. But for those who disbelieve, their awliya, their supporters and their protectors and helpers are taghut, false deities, false leaders who don't exist. They bring them out from light into darkness. Those are the dwellers of the fire and they will abide therein forever. I remind myself and you, my brothers and sisters, we are free to choose. There is no compulsion. There is no force or forcible conversion. We are free to choose, but every choice has a price tag. This is the reality in life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not force anyone to choose Him for worship. If someone doesn't worship Allah, and the vast majority of people don't worship Allah, for every Muslim there are four people who do not worship Allah. Allah does not stop their air, He doesn't stop their water, He doesn't stop their food, their education, their marriages, their health, their influence, their name, fame. Nothing is affected adversely if they worship anyone other than Allah. This dunya and whatever is in this dunya continues for them, no problem. There is no force. Jannah and Jahannam are both available to everyone, and they can choose. There is no shortage of space in either place. I ask Allah that we may choose well and stay on that choice until we meet Him, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this issue of freedom of choice, of this empowerment, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. Allah said, and say, the truth is from your Rabb. Then whoever wills, let him believe. And whoever wills, let him disbelieve. Verily, we have prepared for the zalimun, for the wrongdoers, polytheists, sinners, the various people, a fire whose walls will surround them. Now, what can be clearer than that? We are free to choose, but no choice is free. You get what you pay for. You can have anything that you are ready to pay for. And that is why it is important to look at the price tag, whether in a store or in life. Look at the price tag. That is the meaning of empowerment. And it can happen only when we allow people the freedom to choose. Guide them, but don't force them. Short of danger to life and limb, don't stop them from anything they choose to do. It's only when they taste the consequences that their ability to choose will improve. Insist that they wear life vests, but don't try to stop them from swimming in the ocean. Then help them to understand the possible consequences of their choice. It is no good if they die before they learn, but it's worse if they never learn. Because death is inevitable, ignorance is not. Especially because the consequences of ignorance can be permanent. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. We are talking about the issue of empowerment and how Islam empowers people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam empowered people to make the right choices when he said, and this is the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, the first hadith, عن أمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. It is narrated on the authority of Amir al-Mu'mineen Abu Hafs Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنهما, who said, I heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, actions are according to intentions, meaning the reward of the deed is based on the intention, and everyone will get what was intended. He will get what he intended, he will get the reward for what his intention was. This hadith underlines the fundamental principle in Islam that it is not only what we do, but even more importantly, why we do it, which we must consider. That fits in perfectly with the fact that on the day of judgment, our deeds will be weighed, not counted. It is the worth of the deed which will be rewarded, not just the number of times it was done. The most important question we need to ask is, who am I doing this for? For myself, to satisfy my desire, or for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, to please Him? There are four benefits of checking and doing only what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one, is when we do things only to please Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, we can look forward to the pleasure of Allah and reward from Him. Number two, it is protection from sin. Because consciously before every action or every speech, if I ask myself, does it please Allah? That's the whole point. Then automatically it protects me from sin. I cannot commit a sin because I'm asking myself a question, does it please Allah? And if it's a sin, obviously I know it does not please Allah. So it's a protection from sin. Third, it's a protection from depression and stress and despair and sadness and anger, because we are focused on the pleasure of Allah and not on whatever is immediate or whatever short-term loss or this action may entail. It doesn't matter. People like, don't like, who comes, who doesn't come. Makes no difference. Because I'm doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalas. I'm focused only on that. So you don't get depressed, you don't get, you know, discouraged. I'm talking, I'm doing something, nobody listens, no problem. Alhamdulillah. If nobody listens, that's even better, because there are no witnesses. Alhamdulillah. If you're focused only on the pleasure of Allah, saves you from all of that. And the last one is, in this world, we will become extremely popular and influential, because people who are focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are honest and they are compassionate and they are helpful and they are tranquil and peaceful and they are generous, and so they are loved and respected. Both sides, dunya wal akhirah, there is benefit. On the contrary, giving precedence to personal desires is to open the door for shaitan to enter our lives. That is where it begins. When we give precedence to our desire over what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered, that is a sign of the weakness of yaqeen, the weakness of faith in the akhirah and in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us real time, 24/7. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked this question about Abu Jahl in Surah Al-Alaq, the asbab al-nuzul of the ayah. But obviously it applies to all of us in all that we do. And that is, Allah is watching. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Allah said, does he not know that Allah is watching? That refers to every single one of us. Does he not know that Allah is watching? And when Allah is watching, Allah is watching the speech, he's watching the action, he's also watching the intention in the heart. With what intention is this being done? Allah knows. There's no way of deceiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we follow our desires in opposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it means one of two things. Either we have no belief in the akhirah and in being held accountable before Allah, or we don't care, even though we may claim to believe in the day of judgment. Please note that I'm not talking about or not speaking about doing something without knowledge or out of forgetfulness or even out of momentary passion. That's a mistake. It's not a deliberate desire or deliberate action to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a mistake. And when that happens, the slave is sincerely regretful and ashamed and contrite and begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and makes a sincere effort never to do that deed again. About such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O my ibad, O my slaves, who have transgressed against themselves by committing evil deeds, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins, and truly, He is oft forgiving and most merciful. So obviously, if a person has yaqeen in the akhirah, yaqeen in the meeting with Allah, he may still make a mistake. We are all human, we make mistakes. But then such a person will immediately make istighfar and tawbah. And even if it happens again and again, he will still continuously make istighfar and tawbah. And inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to forgive. So we have complete faith in that. There's a difference between that and deliberately doing something knowing it is wrong. That's not a mistake, that's a crime. Because you know it's wrong, you are doing it consciously even though you know it's wrong. It's not a mistake. Mistakes are forgivable, crimes are culpable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness has no bounds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to forgive any sin provided we are genuinely ashamed and regretful and we try to change ourselves. Please remember that it's essential to be sincere in seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He knows the state of our hearts and He knows our intentions. The conditions of acceptance of istighfar and tawbah are that our repentance is sincere and we do not return to the sin. And that if the sin involves the rights of somebody else, we immediately seek pardon, we seek forgiveness from that person, and we make amends where that may be necessary. Let us be aware of considering any sin as small. The problem with that is not the sin itself, but the attitude which tends to downplay the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since any sin is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can it be small when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Akbar? It is this attitude which is the cancer that invades our hearts and takes us progressively towards bigger and bigger sins until we leave the fort. And that's why they say in Arabic, La saghira ma'al israr wa la kabira ma'al istighfar. They say there is nothing small with insistence. This thing which is small, you do it again and again, insist on it, become big. And similarly, there is nothing big with repentance. No matter how big it is, if you repent, if you ask Allah's forgiveness, inshallah, Allah will forgive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Suratul Furqan, and I want to end with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَىٰ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. He said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you not seen the one who has taken as his ilah, as his object of worship, his own desire? So the person, when somebody is obeying his or her own passion or desire in opposition to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that person is in effect worshipping his desire instead of worshipping Allah. It's that serious. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes and He said, are you going to intercede for that person? Would you be the wakil for that person? What does it mean? It's a rhetorical question saying, do not do it. Are you going to do that? No, I'm not going to do that. Now what can you say about the one for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from interceding? We ask Allah to save us from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. The dua I always make, which is we ask Allah to save us from ourselves. Because that is the biggest problem. The biggest problem is our nafs, even more than shaitan. We ask Allah to save us from ourselves. We ask Allah to save us from all forms of disobedience to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand that success in this life and the next depends on obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us in a state of obedience and to take us in a state of obedience. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين يا رب العالمين يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوه يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أخي مسلم